Welcome. New Waves of Light presents Soul Awakening and the New Earth podcast, where we discuss the nature of the soul and the evolutionary shift taking place inside human consciousness, the catalyst for the planetary shift that is birthing a new Earth. I am your host, Sarah Catherine. The time we are living in is one of radical change, environmentally, culturally, emotionally, and spiritually. Those in the world that are attuned spiritually are being awakened by the soul to the path of spiritual evolution. In this new age of Aquarius, group consciousness is beginning to find expression, leading to a collective shift in a global awakening. Groups are coming together as forerunners of humanity to birth a new era of unprecedented soul consciousness. This is the subject of our inquiry. These podcasts will be centered around important spiritual questions of this time, like what is the soul? How does one contact the soul? What is the shift and what does it mean for humanity? Are there higher beings known as the spiritual hierarchy who watch over humanity and Earth? And what do they say about the shift of the ages that has been spoken about in ancient writings and religious teachings throughout time? And finally, the big question, is there a plan for Earth and humanity? And if so, what is it? In today's podcast, we'll be discussing the soul and its qualities with Judy and Clinton. Welcome, Judy and Clinton.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Let's get started. Judy, what is the soul in your experience?
Oh, well, there's a lot written about the soul, isn't there? But the actual experience of the soul for an individual, it may depend on how soul aware we are. And also, each of us may experience the essence of the soul through our unique personalities. So it may register a little differently from one to another. For myself, I think perhaps it could be described as experiencing being one's highest and finest self, something like perhaps the point of sensitive awareness we might reach in deep meditation. My experience of what I think is the soul is when I enter into a point of being where I completely forget myself in an all-embracing flow of love. It's a love for our world and all within it, and the exquisite beauty of that world and the subtle force that brings it into being and constantly renews every part of it, from the outer form to the animating presence and the sentiency behind appearances. Just love, a love that encompasses all of that. And it's constantly flowing through one's point of being. So in that state of awareness, there's only a sense of the life in everything. And one's whole being is geared to serve and protect it. There's a kind of expansion out of the everyday personal self into that greater life. And one simply knows that it is beneficent and its purpose is for goodness in the largest sense.
Yes.
Also in that state, one can see the goodness behind everything, even when it is not actually expressing through people, you know, when their focus is consumed by destructiveness, selfishness, or just simply desperate reactions to uncomfortable things in the world. The physical feeling is that I'm larger, lighter, and more vibrant and clear, more so than my body. But I'm living through my body and operating through it and through its personality in order to interact in the outer physical world. The body and personality are sort of encompassed by the sense of soul being, but the soul is not limited by any focus on the personality. I think that's as near as I can get to it, Sarah.
Wonderful. Well, I know you can't see me, but I've been shaking my head. Yes, I really love what you shared. And Clinton, I'd love to hear from you. What is your experience of what the soul is?
Well, for me, certainly I agree with Judy. There was a lot of literature, all types of literature that made reference to the soul. But the adage that when the pupil is ready, the teacher will appear has been my experience. I had a mentor who appeared and one day told me it was time for me to learn about peace. And he sent me on a series of exercises. And I got in those exercises and there was resistance to them because I was moving into an area where there were no language, so to speak, and I had to just be able to look at how my exterior actions and attitudes had changed. And I told him I didn't want to go any further with this program. And he looked at me and he said, "Clinton, it's too late. You've come too far. It's automatic now." And from that point on, I believe it has been automatic for me. The soul experience has led me to groups. Groups have helped expand my outlook and my consciousness. And in turn, just as Judy suggested, there's a feeling of peace. There's a feeling of animation for me. In other words, it's through the soul that I learned that I wasn't the body. And so there had to be something that was animating that. And I could see that as being a possibility. And so I continued and it's led me to groups or opportunities such as we have going on today with this podcast. It led me to other people who were similarly situated, who could give me their impressions and feelings and experiences associated with the soul. For me, it was like a new pair of glasses. So it's like I put on a new pair of glasses and I could see the interconnectedness of almost everything. I could see everything was connected. And I tell myself, and I have to chuckle, that it's a never ending story because I realize that I haven't arrived. And every time I think I get to a plateau, we'll say, as the literature told us, another portal opens or another door opens. And when I go through that door, when I first arrive, I don't speak the language. So for me, it's been about learning to speak the language of the soul. And that's primarily comes through my associations with other people who have similar experiences and share them with me. I really liked Judy's explanation, and I could adapt it in its entirety and say that's what the soul's done for me.
Beautiful. Yeah, well, I love this leads perfectly into our next question. Judy, what from your experience are really the soul's qualities? I know you've shared some of them. What would you say are the qualities of the soul?
Well, I think Clinton just expressed them all beautifully in what he said. I think love, a love which is impersonal and yet encompasses everything and everyone, including the personal, but it's not limited to the personal. And so compassion, a sort of deep desire for the ultimate well-being of all, you know, an urge to nurture all that is good and true and beautiful, even when it's not expressing clearly, but is there, and you know it's there. A kind of knowing that there is a greater purpose behind all life and having complete trust in that. The intuition, having intuition, I think is part of how the soul expresses or works, I think, through a connection to a realm of all that can be known and which can be drawn on at need in serving the that underlying purpose for the betterment of all. And perhaps a sense of solemn joy that seems to sit deep in one's being. You know, we think of joy as something light and so on, but I think the soul's joy is a deep quality of its being somehow. A sensitivity to refined beauty, that's another quality, this sensitivity to refined beauty, an urge to refinement and to finer sequences of, or frequencies rather, of being, a subtlety and a clarity of the finest details and nuances, being subtly aware of the finest things, a subtle discernment perhaps. Mm. I think that pretty well covers most of what I think or feel are the qualities of the soul.
Yes. I love that you said joy. I think you really hit the nail on the head there. It's almost like a pervasive, peaceful joy, like a calm, peaceful joy. Clinton, do you have anything to add to those qualities or more qualities you could share?
I've been blessed with mentors who would come and discuss these qualities with me. And I think the big one is how my whole outlook on life changed. And I began to see behind present in front of me. I could really empathize more with a person's situations. I could identify with them without judgment. When I think of the qualities that I have learned to express, I would say their patience, we heard about that, kindness, tenderness, and love. I think Judy talked about the love, but I think as I see myself as, say, an aspirant or moving toward a closer relationship with the soul, I think about how the soul must demonstrate so much patience, kindness, tolerance, and love for me as I'm stumbling along trying to get there. Mm-hmm. And with a lot of persistence and perseverance, I think the quality of the soul that stands out to me is the soul's perseverance. Now, we hear about that in literature, but even when I am able to translate that to my own experiences, I can see that the soul has been persistent, waiting for me to recognize that it's there and has definitely persevered. And so the result is I have a new way of thinking, as they say. My thoughts are not the same. I've been able to unlearn a lot of the things I brought with me before I experienced soul contact and put in things that work, which are emanating from the soul. And still to this day, I mean, when I sort of feel a little like down, maybe not down, but like wondering if I'm progressing fast enough, better, something always appears to assist me, whether it's a person or a new piece of literature, or it's a group. And in that group's process, as a friend of mine would tell me, I will hear what I need to hear. It's just a matter of, am I going to follow the suggestions? So those are the primary soul qualities for me.
Mm. That's great. I love that you mentioned sort of the personality, because that leads me to the next question. Clinton, we'll just, if you want to continue on, what is the distinction in your understanding between the personality and the soul?
You know, I gave that some thought, and I think our personality is what was the only aspect I knew for years, even though I didn't call it personality, I just called it Clinton. And in that means I learned everything. I realize that every one of us somewhere around age 4 or 5 comes to, we wake up and we're in some situation, whatever it might be, some household maybe, or maybe an orphanage, whatever country. And people start telling you who and what you are, telling you what to believe and telling you what to do. And then you go out from there and you go to school and get a lot of education. You get a lot of information. I remember I used to struggle, really strive for a lot of information. And one of those mentors pointed out to me that there always is more information and maybe I should learn to go find what I need rather than trying to take it all in. So that competitiveness, then there's the emotional aspect, the disappointments that have come from the overriding societal attitudes, we'll say. Really, it's like my personality wants to make things happen, but with the soul, I can let them happen. And that's a major distinction. In other words, I believe today that I have soul contact. I believe I'm going to get what I need so I don't have to go out there and make a lot of things happen like I did in my younger years. And I think and believe it's going to be in my best interest, no matter what I might think about it, because I have grown and come into contact with the soul through this process. And so I think that's the major distinction. The soul, I mean, I can't really carry on a conversation with the soul, but I can look at how my behaviors have changed. I can look about how my service commitments have changed. I can look at all the changes that have taken place. And of course, there's always the element of the meditation to try to obtain or glean as much impression as you can from the soul. But the main thing for me is that I have to sort of set the personality on the side, thank it for getting me as far as I've gotten, but allow the soul to lead me the rest of the way.
Beautiful. Yes. I feel the same way. And Judy, what are your thoughts on this? What do you see as the distinctions or between the personality and the soul?
Well, I feel the same way also as Clinton. I think he expressed it so beautifully. And he makes it very real. I find the same. The personality tends to be concerned with itself and is, you know, sort of focused there. And whereas the soul is focused and identified with something larger, deeper, and vaster, that includes everything near and far and subtle. You know, it expands inwards and outwards in its sense of being and awareness, I think. It sort of expands and streams out as through love, compassion, and intention for goodness. That seems to radiate constantly and endlessly, while the personality is more concerned with itself and the survival and comfort of its body and its appearance in the world. I find when, when I'm suddenly getting nervous about how I might appear and I think, wait a minute, that's just the personality. There's something more important going on here than that. And it's a constant little reminder because we work through our personalities. Our personalities are beautiful, useful vehicles for the soul in the world. And I think it's a sense of the for the soul, it knows it's part of an eternal life. And that it's not concerned about, protecting itself and keeping its body comfortable and surviving and so on. It has a different compass somehow. Mm-hmm. So I think, in a nutshell, I think that's how I see the difference.
Excellent. Yes, I agree with both of you. Oh, this has been a wonderful conversation. I thank you both so much for sharing your experiences and your understanding. I really feel like I've grown so much just by listening to both of you speak and share.
We will continue this inquiry in our next episode. Until next time, this is Sarah Catherine. Love yourself, be awake, be love. Music composed by Roberto Carnegie.